gotta talk to him. Like, I'm sure enough time's gone by. Ken's our buddy. Like, he's just, I don't know if he wants to talk about
that.
I
don't get the impression like he does, man. I think he's incredibly remorseful. Like, as far as I know, the band is still outstanding. Like, I don't.
Right.
Why can't it be a Bartman scenario? They get into a wild card game and they host the game. Why can't we get Ken Pagan back out in left field?
Dude, I'm sorry. No disrespect to Ken, but nobody would pick him out of a line and say,
nobody
you're the
would.
Guy that's not allowed.
Not a chance.
Right.
Ken Pagan had tickets to the wild card game. No one's going to say,
not
excuse me. What do you
thing.
Think? We're idiots here? We know who you are.
Agreed.
Here's our Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. You think we could get Ken Pagan into a wild card game or what?
I love it. I dropped a Ken Pagan tweet about a month ago when the Blue Jays returned home. I said, Ken Pagan can throw a beer can at me. That's how much energy is in the building. So, I mean, he's been on my mind for years, half a decade now. At least.
Right. Like, let's go full circle here. It's like Bartman in Chicago. Like, he made a mistake. It was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. He deserved to get kicked out and banned and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, but didn't they want to give Bartman a ring, a World Series ring?
I don't remember the ring.
Yeah,
is that true
did.
And accurate, Scotty? I don't remember if they went that far.
That's a good question. I mean, if O-Dog says it's got to be partially true at least, so we'll go with that.
I'm telling you, I think the Cubs wanted to make peace with Bartman and offer him. They wanted to offer peace to begin with, but I think he just wanted to keep his distance, and he said no thanks. But I believe they wanted to give him a World Series ring, Bartman. All right? There's a fact for you guys.
I hope that's true. Can you imagine Bartman, after all that time, he walks around with a Cubs World Series ring? That'd be
there's
awesome.
There's definitely partial truth to that story. I remember I covered the run in 2016, and they were inviting him to games, and you know he wanted to kind of keep a low pro, and I get it after you know the torment he went through over those years. But, yeah, I mean, I would have taken the ring.
Yeah, me too. They probably wouldn't have given him, like, the real ring, which would have been equally as insulting. He should have haggled with them and said, I'll do it, but I want, like, the $250,000 ring. Like, whatever, you know, Javi Baez is getting, that's what I'm looking for. And maybe that was the issue, that they wanted to give him, like, a Tier 5, you know, $2,500 ring, and he wasn't cool with that. Anyway, we're talking about Ken Pagan and Bartman, and the Jays are on a heater here. They're 14-2 in the last 16. The bats are red hot. And as you said, they're feeling good. You got Alek Manoah on the mound, and Tampa's in town. This is the ultimate test. It's a complete oxymoron considering what we just went through over the course of the weekend, a complete opposite in terms of a team and depth and performance and execution. But what do you expect the Jays to bring over the next 3 nights?
Well, that's the million-dollar question because, I mean, you know, you said it. This is a great litmus test. And, look, I mean, where they sit in the division, I don't think there's any sort of realistic – notion that you know these guys are chasing the Rays, but there's definitely a you know kind of a psyche evaluation here over the next 3 days you know for this Blue Jays club. And I mean they just came off beating the Yankees and A's, so it's not like they can't be good teams, but this Rays team is obviously the team you got to go through. If you get into a wild card game, you go straight to play the you know the best American League record, and that's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays unless you know something totally crashes down here over the next couple of weeks. But you know, they've been a thorn in the Jays' side for a few years now, and, you know, winning at the Trop has been tough, and obviously going back to that playoff game there last year, I mean, you know, this is the team you got to go through, and it's not just this year. I think it's, you know, the next half decade. So, you know, litmus test now, and we'll see what they look like after coming off this hot stretch. I mean, to you know, ask for 7.5 runs per game, which is what they've averaged over this 16-game stretch, I mean, that's just not going to happen. So eventually you're going to have to settle down, play some real good baseball, and start winning close games. And I think that's really, you know, kind of what I'm watching for with this team over these next couple of weeks. Is they've struggled in close games this year. Over this streak, though, they've been 5-0 in one-run ball games. So you got to win those close ones. You can't blow teams out. When you play teams like the Rays, you're going to be playing close games. So I think it's a good test for them this week.
Scotty, $150 million contract. My dad always says you get paid that money for winning. Would you not expect Springer to kind of be a guy to focus on coming down the stretch here as the catalyst? A guy that has experience, World Series MVP. I mean, to just talk to the guy. I mean, maybe it's overrated to talk to guys about experiences and what it's actually like. But as far as expectations of being kind of a go-to guy and a catalyst, wouldn't you kind of zero on him as one of the guys, or if not the guy?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is what you pay George Springer for. I mean, you know, you want that 162 games of production. You know, you want him in the lineup and you know, being, you know, doing what he does April through through August, but you know, September, October is where these guys really make their money. And we know his playoff resume. We know, you know, what he's about in October. And I would absolutely think that, you know, he's a guy that you look to at the top of that lineup to set the tone and be the catalyst. And, you know, that's what he's done throughout his career. And yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people have talked about this as, you know, kind of a tough first season, you know, after that signing that big contract. And, you know, if you ask Springer, I assume he would say the same thing. But, you know, when he has been in the lineup, he's been productive. The numbers look good in terms of, you know, what he's been able to produce when he is in there. And yeah, I think, you know, down the stretch here and definitely if they can, you know, squeeze into October into a wild card game, you know, you pay big bucks for those big moments. And I think that experience with him and Marcus Semien, I think that's been tremendously valuable throughout this season. And I think it's only more valuable going down the stretch here because this is still a young ball club. This is, you know, one of the youngest position player groups in the major leagues. And when you look at kind of what they needed, it's no secret when you go out and get Springer and Semien, and you want that valuable playoff experience, that big game experience. And, you know, it's hard to quantify, like you said, but I absolutely think it has an effect on this dugout. And when they get into close games, it's something they didn't have when you look at last year's, you know, postseason loss to the Rays. They didn't have these two guys to kind of be that steadying hand. And then when you add in that production, obviously they've both been very, very productive. You know, I do think that these guys, you know, Springer and Semien are super key down the stretch here.
How big of a triple crown conversation do you expect to have down the stretch here with Vladdy?
Big time, man. I think that's, you know, kind of one of the side stories that's been swept under the rug a little bit. I mean, we talked about Vladdy's kind of MVP chances, which, you know, I still don't think are totally dead at this point. Obviously, if voters are just going to go strictly by war, I think, you know, Ohtani's clearly the favorite at this point. But when you look at the Triple Crown, I mean, man, if Vladdy, you know, continues to tear up September, wins the Triple Crown, pushes this Jays club into the playoffs, I think that's going to earn him some MVP votes. And when you look at the Triple Crown, man, it's special. I mean, it hasn't happened since 2012, and it was a long time before that. And, you know, I think, you know, if you talk to this Jays team, I think a lot of his teammates are kind of pulling for him. You know, Vladdy's just kind of downplaying it, as you would expect. But I do think he's right there. And I think, you know, obviously the race right now is the home runs with Ohtani, but you know, he's going to need to pick up some more ribbies to catch Jose Abreu, and I think that's the one, obviously, people should pay attention to this week. He needs a few of those doubles into the gaps, those bases-clearing doubles to catch him. So, I mean, I think that's a special, you know, achievement if he's able to do it, and I think it is something that, you know, he would love to do.
Well, and it would put him in special company historically throughout baseball, but obviously it would be completely unique to this club and their history and all the different records that he is writing. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. now with 44 home runs. He got 19 games left. I mean, legitimate shot at 50. I don't think he's going to hit, you know, 54-plus home runs. But we've been having this conversation, it feels like, since the first month or two of the season. Scotty, where this season for Vladdy is going to compare to the all-time greats, when you think of Bell and his MVP season in the 80s, even on the other side of it, Roger Clemens in the late 90s, you look at the Bautista year where he hit 54, Donaldson's MVP year in 15. I mean, even if he doesn't win the hardware, I think you'll be able to make a legitimate case that he's having a better year than Donaldson did in 15. And maybe he's already secured that. That's how good he's been.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the total production across the board, the numbers, you know, this is one of the top two, three seasons ever in Blue Jays history. And, you know, I think to watch him do it at the age of 22, it's obviously pretty special. And I think there's going to be, you know, a handful of seasons just like this to come. And, you know, I think it when you look at his adjustments this year, his dedication to the game, it's all really come together. And, you know, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think the only time he's really scuffled is that 3-week stretch in August, and everyone kind of believed he would come out of that, and, you know, just a little mental and physical fatigue, and we're obviously seeing that's exactly what it is. And, you know, when you think about this club in a wild card game scenario, you know, win or go home, you know, when you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the lineup, he's the type of player, the type of bat that can win a game single-handedly like that. And obviously the way he's locked in right now, you know, the Blue Jays just kind of hope that he could stay this locked in throughout the end of the season and then down into October, because, you know, right now he's absolutely in a zone, and we've seen this a couple times this year. And, you know, when Vladdy's in a zone and you have a guy like, you know, guys like you have behind him, it's such a deep and scary lineup, and we're seeing just how capable, you know, all these guys are right now. And, you know, the fact they've got a rotation to back it up, you know, these guys are playing the best baseball of their season when it matters most. And, you know, we'll see what happens over these next 2-3 weeks, because, you know, it's impossible to ignore how this team is playing.
No, they've been outstanding. And it continues tonight. You got Springer leading off, Simeon hitting second, Guerrero Jr. You got Alejandro Kirk behind the plate catching for Manoah tonight. And, you know, Gurriel's been red hot. You really can't pick out a weakness at the plate. And some of that is Baltimore, clearly, and their pitching and their lack thereof. But it was rolling well before that as well. So we'll see what happens tonight throughout this three-game series. It's a big one with Tampa in town. Enjoy it down there, Scotty. And we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Cheers, pal.
There's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, live from the Dome tonight ahead of a big one with Tampa in town.
They just got to keep grinding.
I think he had a flush there.
You think so?
I don't know if you guys heard that. Near the end, there was a flush.
No, Noodles? I did not hear that.
I mean,
I thought I saw you laughing, Noodles, because I heard it, man.
Wow.
We have to get some investigative reporting on that.
Dig into that one. There might have been a flush. I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope not for Scotty's sake, but if there was, I can pledge to you today, we will find it. If there was a flush, the film and the audio will be reviewed thoroughly.